So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is how we become the butterfly. Love, grow, serve.
Good morning. How you doing? Are you alive? Thank you, both of you. We are a loving, growing, serving community. This is who we are. Everyone say we're loving. We're growing. We're serving. That is who we are. This is on the way, on our journey of transition, and this is what we're speaking about toward the butterfly. And we're on this journey from being what we've termed a caterpillar church to becoming a butterfly church. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather be a butterfly than a caterpillar. And we're on this journey of transition, and I just want to bring you some scripture and some teaching this morning on the back of what Ben brought to us last week and set it up for us. Thank you for doing that, Ben. And I want to bring some understanding of what we say love. Everyone say love. If it's love, grow, serve. I'm speaking about love today, and I'm speaking about love in relation to God, the church, and the world. And I want to make an observation as we have that slide up there, the triangle of those three things. Let me make an observation as I take you through the time that I have this morning. Here's an observation about us. And I think this is just true of us as I've thought about this week, that often when we speak about love in relation to these areas, we can often misappropriate our love. I'm saying that our affections can go probably a little bit more in one area than in the other. Does anyone know what I'm saying this morning? And so I want to nail it right on the mark this morning by firstly speaking about, firstly, God. Everyone say God. I want you to know that God is love. In case you didn't know, God is love. Everyone say His love. God is love. It's not just that He knows about love. It's not just that He's a great lover. It's not just that He showed love. He is indeed the very essence of love. God is all that love is about. And I want to say to you this morning that when we speak about the fact of this church community loving Him, we can love everything about Him. We can love His ways. We can love His works. We can love who He is in our lives. I want to remind you, before I move on to this thought of the church, I want to remind us all this morning that as today's community church, as this community of believers that is heading toward the butterfly, that we are first of all God-centered. That is what we are. As a church community, we are God-centered. centered. I love and want to remind you of some scriptures this morning, and they'll come up on the screen as I read them. Firstly, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12 and verse 30, where it says this. Let me remind you of what it says. It says, love the Lord. So everyone in the room, if we are Christ followers, if we are part of this community, I want you to know that when we say we are a people that love God, we are people that love, as it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Where's your heart this morning? Sometimes we stray, don't we, a little bit from that. But it reminds us this morning that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. That is an awful lot to bring into the love of God. But as a church community, I just want to nail it and say, first of all, we are God-centered. That this is about God Almighty. Our lives are found in Him. We are His kids. And He loves us. Secondly, let me speak to you just for a few minutes about the church. Because I kind of think when we look at the church, and there'll be a triangle up there with church written in it and loving the church, because we say that we are a people that love God, we love the church, and we love the world, and we're like, well, what does that look like? I think sometimes this is where the issue comes in. Where sometimes we get into problems, because this is what I believe and this is what I've seen over many years, that sometimes we can be guilty of falling in love with the church more than we fall in love with God Himself. Hear me this morning, church. It's almost like we fall in love with the church. And what do I mean by that? I mean simply this, that we fall in love with the activities of the church. The program, the project, the things that come. And you know, I love the church. I love the activities of the church. I love the vibe of the church. Come on. I love the, you know, the stuff of the church. But sometimes I just get the sense as I listen to people that the church is great. But hey, where's God in all of this? That the things of the church, the programs, the things that we do, the way that we do what we do, who the church is, the vibe and the community is all great. But sometimes I wonder whether we can fall in love with the church more than we fall in love with God Himself. And I'm reminded that, and these are quite sometimes challenging scriptures to have. I think in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 in the NIV, where it says this, having a form of godliness, but denying its very power. And then he kind of gives us a bit of advice, have nothing to do with such people. Wow. It's like we've got to re-choose some friends in the church if we're loving church more than God. And I just want to say this, you know what? Make sure you have Jesus at the center of your life. Make sure that we are totally God-centric in all that we are and all that we do. This isn't just about some self-help group. This great church that you've come into contact with, that, wow, this makes really enhancement into my life. It makes me smile on a Sunday. It's good to be involved with the other people. It's great community. Let me tell you, it's more than just community. We are the family of Jesus Christ, the family of God, and we are God-centric. So how about the church? Sometimes we fall in love with the activities of the church more than we fall in love with God Himself. So let me make it very clear, when we speak about this transition, when we speak about moving from being a caterpillar church to being a butterfly church, I want to say that when we speak about loving, growing and serving, but particularly loving this morning, when we speak about loving the church, we mean loving the people. I know this is kind of, well, that's not rocket science. Well, sometimes we just need to be reminded about what we're about. I'm speaking about God's people, God's movement of people. And as we move towards this butterfly or as we become a butterfly church, let me tell you what that looks like. It looks like the church loving the church. Hear me this morning. It looks like the church loving the church. It looks like the church caring for the church. This is not about rent a pastor. This isn't about looking on. It went very quiet at that moment. This isn't about looking at the stage for people to pastor you. This is about you caring for one another. That, I believe, is what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. Do you believe that this morning? This is about the church that disciples the church. And those disciples, as we are disciples and we disciple other disciples, do you know what? There should be a knock-on effect. It's not about those disciples become mine. It's about disciples who make disciples, and those disciples that you're making make other disciples. Disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Does that make sense this morning? So I just want to say that we're not reliant in this church community on a discipleship course. When we wake up to what the church is and who she really is, we understand our responsibility that we are to disciple others who will disciple others who will disciple others. There's a great verse that won't even be on the screen, but I'm going to mention it to you anyway. It's what we call the 2-2-2 principle. And this is the empowerment of people. How many know it's about empowering the church? So this is called the 2-2-2 principle, taken from 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. There, it's easy to remember. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Let me read it to you. It won't be on the screen, but hear the words. This is Apostle Paul speaking, and he writes, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths." So he is number one. Paul is number one in this context. He is a disciple. "You have heard me teach these things." He is a disciple himself. "Confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people." There are other disciples. So this is a disciple discipling other disciples. And it goes on to say, "Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." So it's disciples who disciple who disciple. I believe that is our journey. I believe that is our journey. I believe that is what the butterfly looks like. You see, when our love, when our affections are spent towards just activities of the church, nothing wrong with those things, nothing wrong with us coming on a Sunday morning, nothing wrong with the church gathered. I love the church gathered. Do you? Anybody else other than the two that just said yes? Do you love church gathered? I expect you kind of either feel this is your duty to be here or you actually enjoy being here. We are the church. And when our heart is spent towards activities alone and events alone, it models caterpillar church. That's what it models. I don't know if you're familiar with, and if your parents, you brought up kids, or maybe you remember as a kid, the very famous book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Anybody heard of that? Give me a wave. This is just classic book. There's a picture on the screen right now for you to look at. Anybody remember the cover of that book? Some of you do because you've now bought it for your children. So I walk into some of my kids' houses and see it for my grandchildren. I love the story of the very hungry caterpillar. This caterpillar that is devouring everything in its sight, and it's staying under the leaf of this environment. We're going to eat as much as we can, and we're going to stay in this environment. Versus the butterfly church, which I believe goes on adventures. It's very different. The butterfly is so different than the caterpillar. I'm like, it's just gomping its way through life. The caterpillar, it's hiding in its environment. It's gomping away, but the butterfly is going on adventures, it's going places it's not been before, and it is spreading color wherever it goes. It's loving on people wherever it goes. Now, I know some of you are a bit squirmish when it comes to butterflies and moths and that kind of thing, but I love seeing butterflies. They spread, there's so many, and sometimes you just see so many of them, and they spread far and wide. I love the scripture in the Message version, Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. Let me remind you, some of you will hear this for the first time. To me, this aptly describes what God says when we are to love, to kind of be out there and to love. It says this, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. Oh, mine is a private faith. Come on, church. I really don't want to tell people about my pride. This is something that's so real to me, but so private. Hey, you know what? When I read this, God is not a secret to be kept. I love when it goes on to say, we're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you, Word of God says to us this morning as the church, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? Or under a leaf? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, here's the instruction. Shine. Shine. Keep an open house. I love this stuff. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt others to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. You know what I think when I look at caterpillar churches? And you know, I think we've moved away from this. I said to you, I think we're kind of midway through this transition. We're in that chrysalis, and it doesn't feel like a lot at the minute. We know where we're going, but sometimes look back and default back because we don't really see forward. We don't know what the full butterfly looks like, so we tend to look backwards, and we default to things that we already know and things that we're familiar with. I think caterpillar churches just get fat. They ask to get fat. Let's just get fat. We kind of not really seeing the butterfly as loving on the people like we're speaking about yet, and we don't really get that, and if we do, we're not really doing it yet, and we just want to get fat. Bit like the hungry caterpillar who gets tummy ache because he gets so fat. Maybe put it in a different way sometimes of what it looks like as a church when we get fat and we just ask to get fatter, we just get the gripes. I was interested to just read again the synopsis of the very hungry caterpillar. Anybody want reminding of that? Some of you read it to your kids this morning. That's fine. I'm going to read it. Just the synopsis. So like the very hungry caterpillar, this is what happened. One Sunday morning, wow, very applicable. One Sunday morning, a red-faced caterpillar hatches from an egg and begins to look for some food. He eats through increasing quantities of fruit on the following 5 days. He starts off very healthy, actually. One apple on Monday, two pears on Tuesday, three plums on Wednesday, four strawberries on Thursday, and five oranges on Friday. And then on Saturday, he has an enormous feast with one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone, one pickle, one slice of Swiss cheese, one slice of salami, one lollipop, one piece of cherry pie. Sounds like my daughter's this. One sausage, one cupcake, and one slice of watermelon. By the end of Saturday, the inevitable happens and the caterpillar gets ill with stomachache from overeating too much. On Sunday, he recovers from stomachache, comes to his senses, doesn't say that, and returns to a sensible diet by eating through a large green leaf before spinning a cocoon in which he remains for the following 2 weeks. That's kind of where we are right now. Later, the big, fat caterpillar emerges as a beautiful butterfly with large, gorgeous, multicolored wings. This is the church. I remember a long time ago my brother sharing with me a statement that he'd heard by a very then famous speaker called Ed Silvoso. And he made this comment many, many years ago, and it's kind of always challenged me whenever I've heard it, so I've tried to forget it and can't forget it. When he said this: if you love your church more than you love your city, you'll never see revival. Let me say that again, because some of you didn't get it. If you love your church more than you love your city, you'll never see revival. That's kind of a bit of a litmus test, don't you think, as far as how much we love the church as opposed to how much we love the town and the region and the nation. Maybe I should move quickly on to not only loving God, not only loving the church, but loving the world. Now, when I use that term, you know, we are a community that loves God, we love the church, and we love the world. I don't know about you, but I was brought up in a time where we were taught you don't love the world. The teaching was you don't want to hear that stuff. It's like a caterpillar, it'll eat you. You don't go near the world. Historically, we've been taught as a church not to go near it. Stay away. But I just want to remind you, and I'm sure this is what was meant back then, and maybe we just understood the message. Those of us who were sat listening may have just misunderstood what was being said, and I want to make it clear and remind us today that it was always referring to things. It was never referring to the people. It was always referring to the works and the ways of the world, and the secularization of the world. It was referring to the values that the world holds. It was referring to the paradigms that the world sticks to, and it was referring to materialism. I was reminded as I began to think of this, of Romans 12, verse 2, where actually this is what was being said, really, where it says, do not conform to the pattern or the paradigm, the ways of, whatever you want to put it, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Come on. Be transformed. Don't conform. It's so easy to conform. But let's be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then you will be able to put to the test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. So as I round this off this morning, I started to wonder about God and what His focus is. I wonder what He focuses on. You know, do we expect that He focuses on what we focus on? I wonder what He's focusing on. And I'm sure He's kind of very busy and focusing on all kinds of stuff. But I'm reminded in John 3:16, probably one of or the most famous scripture in the Bible. I'm reminded what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, for God so loved the church. Doesn't say that. Not in my version. In fact, any version I pick up, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, for God so loved the church. It says, for God so loved the world. Wow. For God so loved the world that He gave. Yeah, and I kind of know that we are the world, so the church is included in that. But isn't it interesting that He said, God so loved the world, not God so loved the church. So I just want to remind you again that Caterpillar churches just love on the church and they devour it. That's what it looks like. We see it all over the world. Consumeristic church. We come, we do what we do, we get what we get, and we go. We consume, and we consume, and we consume, and we get fatter, and we get fatter, and we become a caterpillar. God's called us to be a butterfly church. Caterpillar churches just love on the church and devour it. Butterfly churches love on the world, which includes the church, and they land on people far and wide. I know you love that thought. They land on people far and wide. God help us. There's color everywhere. There's so much color in your life waiting to burst on the world. Not just in the building, on the world. The world is kind of waiting for us to love on them. Because the kind of society and the culture that we have is that everybody feels that everybody wants to take from them. But when the church rises and becomes the butterfly church and starts to land on the people and love on them and understand it's not what we can get from them, but actually what message we can bring to them and what color we can bring into their world, people will come alive. When we centralize our love towards God, hear this. When we focus in on our love for God, when we are Jesus-centric, I'm saying it all the ways that I've said it all the way through, when we are God-centered, when our affections are towards God, He is the center of our love and our affections. It's not just some kind of social club. where we have a bit of a sing-song and we mention the J word now and again. And it's Jesus, by the way. When we recognize that He is the King of Kings, that He is the center of our lives and our community, and our affection is towards Him. In other words, when we love what God loves, we begin to love what He loves. When we love Him, we begin to love what He loves. And I want to tell you, He still loves the world. He hates the stuff that's going on, and He loves the people intensely. And sometimes we get this focus of how the world sees the world and what's happening with it and what it isn't. And we want to come into our enclave, our spiritual enclave, and we're happy to love God and we're happy to love the church and one another. But when it comes to the world, it's kind of going down the toilet. I want to tell you still, for God so loved the world that He gave. So when we begin to love God, we begin to love what God loves. But when our affection fades for the person, I'm speaking about the person of Jesus. When our affection fades for the person, our affections also fade for His purpose. That's what happens. We become about what we're doing. Our issues, our problems, what we're in, our circumstances. And the mission gets lost. The mission of Jesus just gets lost. We start to look in the mirror and focus in, and to a point sometimes that we just become self-indulgent. When that happens and our focus and our affection fades from Jesus, the net result is this: lost love for the lost. Lost love for the lost. But God so loved the world that He gave. If we intensely love God, then we will intensely love His church. Ephesians 5:25, the fact that Jesus gave Himself for her, the church. If we intensely love God, we intensely love the church. And if we intensely love the church, we will intensely love the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. And I finish with this scripture. Here's the proof. John 13:35 says this: your love for one another will prove to the world that you are My disciples. Another version says, by this will all men know that you are My disciples, that you have love one for another. The NLT says, your love for one another will prove. Everyone say prove. It will prove to the world that you are My disciples. What will prove it? Your love. We are a loving community. Our centrality of love is towards God Himself. We are to love the church because God has placed us in His family. And we are to love the world because this is the mission of God. This is what God has called us to be and to do. It's not changed. It's not moved away. It's kind of, well, you know what? Got fed up of that one, Jesus said. A couple of thousand years, let's change the mission. The mission's never changed. There are still so many lost people. And our challenge is that we must never lose love for the lost. Does that make sense this morning?